GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Oh, guest co-host Lee Speronis of Husson University. I don't know if you've ever met Jason Savage of Maine's Republican Party. Have you now?
I'm not certain, but I probably shook his hand before we worried about the flu.
Okay. Hopefully you both had hand sanitized beforehand. Jason Savage, welcome back to GHRT. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
We are just more than interested to know what happened in Portland on Election Day.
So it's quite a fascinating story. Just before Election Day, we received word from the city of Portland that they were not going to allow us, our people, to collect signatures on petitions to repeal ranked choice voting on the rather ridiculous argument that having people be able to sign our petitions after they voted was somehow going to influence how people voted on a local referendum there. You know, we tried to negotiate in good faith to allow our people to get our people in there. We felt like for a while on the morning of Election Day, it was going okay. And then at the last minute, they kind of stepped back from everything that they said they would do and told our people they had to set up 150 feet down the road from the building while everybody else was inside. And so we filed for a temporary restraining order. Judge in the Superior Court granted it, and we walked in and started collecting signatures. It was pretty ridiculous day, actually.
Jason, how many hours did you lose during that process?
Well, we only got five out of about 12. I guess we probably lost 7 to 8 hours.
And do you feel that you lost a great number of signatures you could have gathered in Maine's largest city?
Yeah, I do. You know, what we saw on Election Day was that it wasn't just Republicans that were signing the petitions. We got a lot of signatures from independents and Democrats. And, you know, we're outnumbered in the city of Portland, but we do have there are a lot of Republican voters there. So we certainly lost signatures. We still had a strong day, but it would have been stronger.
You know, Jason, that's a very interesting point because we can only speak on how we vote. I know when I walk out of a poll, I'm very likely to sign petitions to get things on the ballot, even if I don't necessarily believe in that particular item. I just like the idea of getting it to the people to vote. So it's really important that you lost the opportunity to have people just sign this petition to have it on the ballot again.
Yeah, it really was. It was discouraging to have to fight that battle because we always are lectured about how certain people are so open and appreciate different points of view. And then when it came to our point of view, you know, they were just slamming the door on it. And that was disheartening because it was just completely different than the way we're always told things are supposed to be.
Jason Savage of Maine's GOP on the phone with us here. A follow-up: as Portland forced petition signature gatherers out of, was it just one polling place or multiple polling places in Portland?
Yeah. It was at least six.
At least six polling places on Election Day, because Portland was voting on that day on a measure to expand ranked choice voting from not only its mayoral election, but to city council and school board elections. Now, but go back and clarify something for us. And this is what many of us wondered, Jason. People who were voting that day were not exposed to you. They did not see you until after they had gone through the polling. They had already voted and then were exiting.
Well, I can't tell you that they did not see anything because every polling location is different, but they were not exposed to even the opportunity or a conversation about it until after they had cast their ballots. That's the general rule in all polling locations, is you don't get to talk to voters before they vote. But that's a rule that we all understand, and we all knew that going in. They argued that just the presence of the petitions and the petition circulator in the building was enough to influence the voters, even though they weren't going to encounter them until after they had cast their ballot.
Jason, this is Lee again. I find this very alarming that at six locations, it sounds as an organized blockade for people to have access.
Well, the evidence of that would be if it happened in other towns, other municipalities.
Well, I think it was organized at the city level in the city of Portland. It was a decision made by the clerk there. So it wasn't a situation where we went to one polling location after another. We were initially told no by the city clerk to all 11 or 12 locations in Portland. And then we were told yes to some of them because they said they had room. And then when we showed up, we were told no again, you have to be 150 feet away.
Jason, we understand that the first phone call went to the Secretary of State, who was crazy busy that day anyway. But are we understanding news accounts correctly that Secretary of State Matt Dunlap sided with the city on this?
From my understanding, the city contacted the Secretary of State and he agreed with them. And then they moved forward with their decision, which led to another flurry of phone calls when we found out, which the last phone call on the day before the election was me making a phone call to the mayor of Portland, which went to a voicemail and wasn't returned. Just seeking to actually have them allow, you know, have a voice in the city of Portland and the leadership to speak up and say, no, this isn't right. And at that point we went forward with, the court order. We started preparing that. They, when they found out what we were doing, they started negotiating. So that carried on throughout the morning of Election Day. And it wasn't until the negotiations went from early morning on Election Day until like 1:30, quarter of two. And then we filed because we realized that the negotiations were, they really felt like we were just running out of time and we weren't getting anywhere. We were moving, you know, one step forward and two steps back in the negotiation while the clock was ticking. So yeah, that's how it played out.
See, it would seem, it's interesting to me that I was reading the Pierce Atwood filing. It's interesting to me that they wouldn't, and the Secretary of State wouldn't allow it to take place, and then they could have a ruling on it and they could throw all the petitions out, quite frankly, as opposed to preventing people to sign the petition in the first place. Because there's no harm done if they sign it and then they say, okay, that was an illegal petition, so we're going to tear it up. But this way, you have no access. And that's very unusual that you would decline access.
Right. I mean, at the risk of sounding too partisan on what shouldn't be a partisan issue, it flies in the face of the whole idea of democracy and equal rights, that everybody has a First Amendment right to be present. And, you know, I'm really fatigued on this whole political discourse, which lectures us on being inclusive and then turns around and does just the opposite. We should have been allowed in, and they could have filed or argued that we shouldn't be allowed there and provide some evidence of that. But the ridiculous argument is that we were somehow influencing the votes of those voters after they had cast the ballots just by being there.
I want to go back to something you said just a moment ago, talking with Jason Savage of the Maine's Republican Party, again, signature gatherers for what would be a people's veto of, would it be a people's veto because it's not in place yet, right? So it's a people's veto?
Correct.
Okay, a people's veto of a bill passed by the legislature that allows ranked choice voting in presidential primaries going forward. Okay, went to Portland, set up 6 polling places, as Jason understands. They were told you can't do this here, had to go to a judge to be able to be let back in, and severely hampering their efforts to gather signatures. You said a moment ago that the clerks started negotiating when they found out that you were seeking legal relief on this.
Well, it was actually somebody at the management level of the city that started saying, "Oh no, we can get some people in. We have room here. This is really a room issue, not an influence issue. We can get you into the expo. We can get you into, I think it was the First Baptist polling location." Which at that point we said, okay, well, you're making a good faith effort. And if you're making a good faith effort and there was a mistake or misunderstanding, that's fine. We'll go. But then the first person collecting showed up at the expo and walked in and was told, no, you need to be 150 feet away from the building, which, by the way, 150 feet is not in state law anywhere. There is a rule about electioneering outside polling places that says 250 feet, but their 150 foot buffer zone that they were trying to create was based on their idea of what the state thinks the buffer should be. And it had no basis in anything. It was just an arbitrary number that they came up with from what somebody told them. And they tried to establish that as their new negotiating sort of line in the sand. And that was when we went forward and filed.
What's going to happen next election day? Or I don't know, you're up against the clock right now to gather all the necessary signatures, aren't you?
Well, we did really well on Tuesday. Don't have final numbers, but we exceeded our goal statewide. Would have been even better if we would have been in Portland the whole day. I don't know where we're going to be in June. Where our plan is to really work hard on this over the next month and a half, and get ourselves in a position of really succeeding beyond what anybody expects us to succeed at, you know, as far as the number of signatures. So I don't know what we're going to do in June, but I think that now, There's really no doubt in the minds of anybody that we can set up in the city of Portland and they can't stop us. And that's an important thing for the future.
If it was the conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat on here, okay? If it was six locations, then there had to be someone making that call, someone making that decision, and possibly making that decision before Election Day. Is there one person at the point opposing this in Portland?
I don't know if there's one person at the point. As I've grown and worked in politics, I've come to realize that we don't get a whole lot of benefit out of really personalizing. I will say I was hoping for more from the mayor. We were hoping that she would say something because it really is about the thousands of Republicans and opponents of ranked choice voting in that city. They deserve to have a voice too. I don't know if there was one person running point, if it was a bad decision. I'm not really going to try to personalize it too much other than to express some disappointment that the elected leadership in the city of Portland didn't speak up for those people who wanted to sign and whose voices were being silenced. That was a big disappointment.
And Jason, just to be clear, there were other people having petitions signed in those locations.
Yeah, from what I understand, there were. I didn't actually visit any of them. Our chair, Dr. Demi Kazunas, actually went into several of the locations and they told me that there was a long string of tables of people there having things signed. So I think that it was pretty much everybody else but us that was allowed to be there.
Is there any sense in following up with the Secretary of State's office?
There may be. I think the court order was pretty clear. They didn't even need to have a hearing to see that we had the right to be there. So I think that more than anything, that sets a precedent that everybody's going to have to keep in mind in the future. That really was the defining moment of this whole thing.
And you've got a lot of text messages coming in, people saying that I signed, I was in Dresden. Another person writing to us, I went to vote. I looked for a table. I looked for a petition. There wasn't one there. You couldn't be at every polling place. People want to know where they're supposed to go to learn more about this.
Okay, so the deal with that is that we had people at over 200 polling locations, but we couldn't cover every single one. Anybody who wants to sign can go to repealrankedchoice.com. There's a little button that says sign the petition, says sign the petition. What we're doing is collecting the information, and then volunteers are going to sweep across the state and get everybody else's signature.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.